Blog Talk Radio.
And I'm your host, Dr. Jerry O. Robinson, and I want to tell you that we are shouting out to you this morning that the glory of the Lord, the glory of the Lord is for your benefit and mine. Amen. As we get ready to go into the podcast today, I just want to say that this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice, and we are rejoicing and being glad in it. Amen. Now we will, we had difficulties last week. I don't know what happened with the podcast in terms of the audio. So we were actually in the segments. Are we in the last hour? But we're going to talk about that a little bit later on in the days to come. Once we get all of the kinks out of this audio. But we just want to say thank God for this morning and what He's doing in and through us and through us concerning you as a people. We are so excited about what He's saying, what He's doing in planet Earth at this time. And so with that being said, amen, we want to thank Him for ministering and sharing with us through His word to His people. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank You for this podcast today and what You're doing and what You're seeing and what You will say to the hearts and the minds of the people and whom will hear this. And that it will be edifying, uplifting, bringing life to all of them who listen, and let them produce fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold in the manifestation of every word spoken in Jesus' name. And everybody that agree with that, you just shout amen with me. All right, good morning on this Friday morning, and it's a beautiful day here in Allen, Texas, and we just want to thank God for the sun shining. by the grace of God, we're looking for some rain here. Well, let's get right into the broadcast this morning. This morning, we want to talk about, just for a few minutes, we're going into a segment now. We are asking the question today, and we're not asking the question, but we're posing a statement in a moment of glory, a moment of His glory, a moment in His glory, a moment in His glory. And we're talking about the Lord here today. And I just wanted to say that, with that being said, the Lord is really, 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 really moving in planet Earth. And I know that some of you feel like that's not happening, but I want you to know that it is, and that the Lord is still the same yesterday, as the Hebrew writer said, today and forevermore. He changes not. And so with that being said, in that He has not changed, let's find out why He's not changed in the respect of who He is and what He has done and what He is doing in and through this planet. Even as I speak, it was the Lord who opened up the seals of heaven this morning, rolled back the clouds, and the sun came out. It was the Lord who, even on last night, covered up the seals of heaven, covered up the sun, And the stars came out. It was the Lord last night who brought us all the way through a sleepy night into an early morning. So it was the Lord. The alarm clock didn't wake you up. Whatever happened through the middle of the night, the sound, it was not the sounds of such, but even though they were a part of the method that woke you up, it was the Lord who opened your eyes. It was the Lord who gave you the senses. It was the Lord who gave you the opportunity to even have an understanding about what was happening even in the midst of that. It is the Lord. And we want to talk about him today because of who he is and what he has done and what he is doing, as I shared prior, in you and in through and me. Hallelujah. I know that this is probably on current events, but the current events are today that the Lord is still the same yesterday, as the Hebrew writer said. Yesterday, today, and forevermore. He is the same. He has not changed. Hallelujah. He is God, and he's God alone, God all by himself, and he doesn't need any help, even though he chose you and I to help him. Hallelujah. He doesn't need any help, but that respect that he is the creator and the maker of the end of the earth. So he is God, and he is God alone. All right, let's get into the question now. In the moment in his glory, let's talk about glory today. And what is glory, actually? Glory, defined in the Hebrew, it is basically considered as a weight or a honor. It's looked upon as having splendor. Glory. That's what it is. It's looked upon as having splendor and honor, and it carries weight. Now, the first time that we see the word glory in the Bible is in the book of Genesis chapter 31. And we here we are speaking of a case where Jacob, who has gone into an area where he is found wives, and then he's made himself very industrious. He's a very industrious guy here. And the Bible says that he's with Laban. And if you're well read, and I'm not catching you in the middle of the story, Laban had two daughters. One was Rachel and one was Leah. And Jacob became the husband to both of them. And back then, that time, people did those type of things. I'm not advocating that you do that in this day and time. Now, you know, some people want to have two and three wives. I don't think that's, as a matter of fact, we know that that's immoral. It's not the way that God is intended for the relationships to be now, but even though we know that people are doing that, and we want to tell you that that's not lawful. So let me get back in the history of this, that Laban, who was the father of these two daughters, Leah and Rachel, Jacob marries both of them, and now he is helping his father-in-law to bring about prosperity in the land in which they are dwelling. And so therefore now Jacob, who is the man we call the trickster, actually I think Laban was the trickster because he used Jacob, he tricked Jacob into making, having Leah and marrying the daughter that he did not desire to marry. So therefore, here it is now. Jacob now is being tricked, and the trickster is being tricked. Can I tell you something? Basically, if we live the life, you'll reap what you sow. If you trick somebody, somebody's basically going to trick you. The divine law of reciprocity still holds fast to what it is in today. And if you do something to somebody, or if you do something, if you plant apples, you're going to get apples. If you plant oranges, you're going to get oranges. If you plant deceit, you're going to get deceit. You're going to receive it. So you reap what you sow. So you know the story of Jacob, if I'm not catching you back in the middle of the story again. Jacob was called the supplanter. He was one who actually was at the heel of his brother in the childbearing. And we won't go into all the history of Jacob, but we recognize that Jacob was called the trickster in his day. He, with his mother, they schemed together to get the birthright from Esau. So, you know, all of these things happened with Jacob. Now he's fleed to another place after he stole the birthright. Now he's in there with Laban and his group. And Jacob now is working for him. And now all of a sudden, now Laban is saying, you know what, your work is fantastic, it's spectacular, it's tremendous, stay here with us, don't leave. And Jacob is now ready to go, but Laban holds him because of tithes with his daughters. And Jacob is now blessing Laban because he's helping him to prosper. He's helping him to get a lot of things in the area of prosperity. So, of course, he wouldn't desire for him to leave because now his son-in-law, who has become his son-in-law, is helping him to gain prosperity in the land in which they're dwelling. And the Bible says in Genesis chapter 31, verse 1, and he heard the words of Laban's son saying, Jacob has taken away all that was our father's, and of that which was our father's has he gotten all this glory. Jacob, let me tell you what happened. Jacob divided the flocks because he was prospering, Laban was prospering so much. Until Jacob's portion was not being given and distributed properly. So Jacob decided that they would have a split and that whoever would, they would have one possession on one side and Jacob would have another possession. Laban would have his possession on one side, Jacob his possession on another. And Jacob's flocks were not as prosperous as it was in the beginning of the onset of the separation. But then God gave Jacob a vision. You know what? Nothing is as good as a God idea. God gave Jacob an idea and said, look, he spoke to him and said, this is what I want you to do. He said, I want you to take the cows, put spots on them, let them see themselves, hallelujah, in the reflection of the water. And every cow that will mate will show the separation between you and Laban's cattle. Glory to God. And isn't that a simple thing? Seemingly that the cows were moved by the Spirit of God to be polka dotted. Well, hallelujah. I don't know. I guess it has a whole lot for Dalmatians, right? No, not cows. Anyway, so much for that. Praise God. God separated them in the midst of all of that. God worked a miracle in the cattle. And the cattle was separated, and all of Jacob's cattle was noted from the difference of Laban's cattle. What a miracle. And let me tell you something. The Lord is doing the same thing today. He's revealing himself to people. He's showing himself strong. He's separating the prosperous from the prosperous. Yes, he is. If somebody is stealing from you today, I got good gospel news for you, then God will give you an idea that will surpass the idea of the world, of the idea of the person who may be trying to steal or to kill or destroy things in your life. And we're speaking definitely of the devil, which we know that John 10 and 10 declares that. He is the thief. He comes to steal. He comes to kill. He comes to destroy. He's not your neighbor as of such. The neighbor is just a manifestation of what the thief has put in his heart. It is not the person that you think that, in so many words, has been misusing you or abusing you. It is the enemy who influences everybody to do things that are opposite of the will of God in your life and in my life. And as I shared in John 10, chapter 10, Jesus said to the disciples that the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So if anything is being stolen out of your life, if anything is being murderous in your life or destroyed in your life, know that it's not an individual as of such. It is the diablos. It is the devil. It is Satan himself who has sent out devils and demons on an assignment to do those things against your life. So you're not fighting against flesh and blood, as the Apostle Paul shared in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. He said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and the rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. Therefore, he says, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day. So you know, you're not fighting against flesh and blood. You and I are not fighting against flesh and blood. Even though the person may be a manifestation of what took place, that is not the reason why that individual did that. It was an orchestration, and it was carefully carried out by a spirit called evil. And that spirit came from the devil. So much for that. Amen. Listen, Jacob had gotten all this glory, and Jacob beheld the countenance of Laban, and behold, it was not toward him as before. In other words, you know, Jacob said that Laban said, look, man, you're getting blessed here, and I'm trying to understand what's going on. Look, when the Lord's hand is on anything that you're doing, glory to God, it's going to prosper. And when the Lord's hand is on what you're doing, it's going to be sanctified. Isn't that amazing? He's going to set it aside. He's going to set it apart. It's going to look different than everything else around you. Even though other things may be prospering around you, I want to tell you that when God puts his hand on any idea or any situation that you are dealing with and that he's assigned you to, he's going to sanctify it for himself, and he's going to make sure that everybody knows that it was him who did that thing on your behalf. Glory to God. This is what he said in verse 3 of 31, chapter 31. And the Lord said unto Jacob, listen, return unto the land of thy fathers and to thy kindred, and I will be with thee. Now, God is already with Jacob because God himself is the one that gave Jacob that idea to prosper in the area of the cattle and the flocks. Can I tell you something? God wants to give you an idea today. Have you been opening your ears? Have you been listening to what the Spirit of the Lord has been saying concerning you as an individual? And you said, I don't know why I'm not prospering. I don't know why I'm not going forth. Well, let me tell you something. You have everything that you need right there at your disposal. It's all in your hand. All you need to do is get God to give you an idea on how to use it, and God will prosper. In this case, God prospered Jacob. He prospered him with his idea. He already had a flock, but he didn't know how to prosper that flock. And God said, this is what you do. And when God gave him that idea, he put the idea into motion. He put it into action. And I tell you, God prospered him every step of the way. So much so that the Bible says that Laban's son became jealous and said, look, he's gotten all this glory. He's gotten all the possession. So this is the first time that we see of the manifestation of the word glory. Glory, in this particular sense, is being shared with as a manifestation of tangible things that are operational in the earth. Can I tell you that one more time? Glory is a manifestation of tangible things that are operational in the earth. It is not, as we would say in another instance, the mist or a cloud or something that cannot be seen. It is an actual, physical, material manifestation of a thing in the earth. And that thing, it comes out of the Spirit. Notice what happened. The idea came out of the Spirit of God to Jacob. And Jacob manifested it through the manifestation of the flocks. So can I tell you something? Glory goes hand in hand out of the Spirit into the natural. It has to first start in the Spirit before it becomes natural. So anything that you see that's glorious came out of the Spirit well first. Hallelujah. God gave him a God idea. Now watch this. We see the power of God moving in behalf of this man of God, Jacob. Now he's getting ready to leave Laban because he's prospered so much now he can't stay with him. So he takes his wife Rachel and all the rest of Leah, and they go into the field of his flock. The Bible says in verse 4, and Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field unto his flock, and said unto them, I see your father's countenance, that it is not forward toward me as before. But the God of my fathers, has been with me. The God of my fathers, he said, has been with me. Hallelujah. And ye know that with all my power I have served your father. In other words, Jacob said, look, I did everything that I was able to do. I did everything I was supposed to do. And now it's time for me to get, let me say it like this, they say it in Texas, giddy up and go. Ha! Let me tell you, when you've done all that you can do in a situation, when you've done all you can do in every area of your life, in a certain place, then you know God will speak to you. You'll know that it is time for you. Let me say it this way in the street vernacular. You know that it is time for you to boogie or to go or to get out or to run or whatever. You know, it is time for you to, let me say it in this common day vernacular, leave. Amen. Jacob said it's time for us to move. It's time for us to go. We can't stay here any longer. Prosperity has moved in our behalf, on our behalf, and therefore we're becoming now a pest to your father. This is what he's saying to Leah and Rachel because of the fact that he has outgrown him. He has prospered more than him, and therefore now his flocks are pushing out Laban's flocks. So now we've got to move out Jacob's head. Because, and let me tell you something, you know, we see the story of Jacob, and I want to say this today, praise God, that Jacob, when he moved out, did not move out poor. He moved out rich. Glory to God. And don't think that God for not one moment desires for you to be poor. The Bible said he prospered him in everything that he did. So therefore, God wants to do the same for you and me. He's not a respectable person. Look, Laban was prospering. Why not Jacob? If the world is prospering, why not you? If the world is prospering, why not me? Glory to God. As a matter of fact, we should be the head and not the tail, the above and not the beneath, the one who goes in and out, and the one who's blessed in the city and the blessed in the field. That's you and me. And no curse should be upon us. That's the word of God for us. That's the word of God for you. So listen to that now. Here we go. So now we see the first word dealing with the manifestation of the glory, the manifestation of the word glory. But I want to jump there because see, a lot of people have viewed glory as a place, a mist or a cloud. Now it is true that it has the ramifications or the very appearance of that, but we have to realize that it is first started in the spirit, and then it manifested in the very natural realm in which we live. So first it started. Let me tell you something. Today, now, the Bible says that in the book of Genesis chapter 1, and you go there, and we'll find out how these things are happening as the Spirit of the Lord begins to move. Bible says in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit, now listen what goes on here, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So therefore the Spirit of the Lord moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Listen, when it started with God, it started in the Spirit. As I share with you, Jacob's blessing, the glory of what he received, started with a spiritual application when God gave him a word that he could not see in the natural, but he performed that word through the natural by obeying the instruction that the Lord gave him. God said to him to do certain things. From the spiritual standpoint, the word came to him in his heart. The word was sent to him in his spirit. And therefore, he moved out in his spirit by faith and did what the word God himself said. And therefore, it became glory in the natural. So the Bible says here in the first book of Genesis chapter 1, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. The Spirit of the Lord moved. And God said, now, he spoke. And what happened? He said, let there be light, and there was light. But it started first in the mind of God and in the Spirit of God. It was not yet manifested until he said, let there be. Therefore, it was, and light became light, illumination, brightness. It moved the darkness. It moved away the gloom. It moved away the void. Because the Bible said this is without form and void. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said. That's the key today to getting your glory. It's the key to getting your manifestation. Saying a thing out of your mouth. And God said, let there be. And it was. Now, somebody says, well, do you and I have that same power to say the things that God said and do the things that God did? Well, you know, let's go to verse chapter 26 of that same chapter of verse 21. And the Bible says, and God said, let us. He says it again. Here he is. He's speaking. God's speaking again. He's speaking out of the Spirit. He says, let us. Let us, us. Well, now, who is us in this particular day? It is the actual, it is the word plurally meaning the majesty as in who God is. It is his majesty. It is him in the God, in the person of God, Spirit, and he is actually three in one, Spirit, God, body, the Holy Ghost of the Son of God, and the Holy Ghost as his emotion. He is three in one Trinity. He is the Holy Ghost. He is God himself, and he is the Son of God. These three make one. These are the, first of all, he is the spoken word. He is the word. First, Spirit of the Holy Ghost is the word that comes to him by Spirit. Now then, he is the spoken word. We call it Rhema. He is the Logos in the area of written. But the Bible says it is the spoken word of God that made the creations come to pass in the earth. It was by the word of the Lord were the heavens framed, the Son said. And all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, chapter, I believe, 12 or wherever it is, when God speaks and he says, it is the faith chapter, chapter 11, and the Bible says, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of men, and Psalms, but then he says, by the word of the Lord were the heavens framed, and God spoke to them as it was in Hebrews chapter 6. So, therefore, the Bible is completely a book of words, and God himself is the word. Everything is moved, everything is created by words. And so God said, you know what? Since everything is created by that, I am the word. He is the word. Let me tell you something. Nothing is more important in this life than you and I have to deal with is the word. Everything that we even have in vision is being visualized because of words. And so God said, you know what? I talk all the time. So since I'm the one that's always speaking, because I'm the one who created the ends of the heavens and the earth, I'm the one who is the voice of mankind. I'm the voice of the universe. So he said, I just call myself the Word. He is the Word. He talks all the time because he is the Word. Hallelujah. I said he is the Word. The Word. He is the Word incarnated. He is the Word perpetuated. He is the Word himself. So everything that you and I know about anything in this universe is because of words, and it is because of the Word. So I'm so happy that God is the Word today. And that, you know, they had a statement back in the early on times, back in the early, a couple of years ago, come out, word out, word in, word. Hey, did you know what you were really saying? You were really saying God in, God out. God. God is the word. So you said word up, where God is up. He is the word. He is the word. Now, the glory of the Lord, the glory of the Lord is manifested by his spoken word. Let us make man, he said, in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. There were three parts of creation here. And I want to get into this because I want you to have an understanding of the glory of God. First of all, there was a manifestation, first of all, of the fish of the sea. That the Bible says everything was being created after its kind. And the waters gave forth fish. The land gave forth cattle. And God gave forth man. It's three areas of creation. Everything was created after its kind. Watch what I just said. First, it was the land, the fish that came out of the water. Water gave forth fish. That was a part of the creation. And the land gave forth cattle. That was a part of the creation. But man comes out of God. So watch as God is manifesting himself. Hallelujah. As we move forward in faith. Yes. As we move forward in faith. Praise God. Let's talk about this on the next broadcast. But let's talk about the glory of God as we move into the realm of what God is doing and what God is saying in these last days. So I tell you what. Praise God. Tune in next week as we move forward as in another realm of faith. As we visualize the power and the workings and the glory of God in the earth. God bless you as we move forward. Look forward to seeing you on next week. Bye.